نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى والسابقون الاولون من المهاجرين والانصار والذين اتبعوهم باحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه واعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الانهار خالدين فيها ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم. Most respected elder and friends, all the people that are listening to this program, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I've recited before you verse 100 of Surah At-Tawbah. In this verse, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to the high lofty position of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person wishes to build a very strong house, he need to dig a very deep foundation. The deeper the foundation, the stronger the house. The first foundation of Islam that has been built was by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And built on that was the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The deeper love we have for the Sahaba of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the stronger will be our iman and our closeness to Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. A Sahabi, a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is defined as man ra'a an-nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mu'minan وَمَاتَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ. That person who has seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman and have died in the state of Iman. Three conditions for a person to be a Sahabi. First, he has to see Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is not a Sahabi. Second, he must see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of Iman. If somebody did not see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of Iman, the kuffar of Makkah, Abu Jahl, they all see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but not in a state of Iman. So in order to qualify the Sahabi, you got to see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a state of Iman. And third condition for a person to die, that person who seen Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman, he must die in the state of Iman. It is our aqidah, it is our belief. As-sahaba kulluhum adul. All the sahaba, they were just. They were accepted by Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And they are our criterion and our measure of Iman. In Surah At-Tawbah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ. Among the Muhajirin and Ansar, there were those Sahaba that were in the forefront of accepting Islam. They have made great sacrifices in putting the foundation of Deen and Islam. For that, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala mentions three virtues. The first is radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is happy with them, they are in turn happy with Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. When Allah put them into Jannat and Paradise, Allah will make them happy. Second virtue, a'addallahu lahum jannatin tajri tahta al-anhaaru khalidina fiha. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala prepared for them gardens, jannats, beneath which streams will flow. And they would remain there forever and ever. And third virtue, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. Once a person go into Jannah, gain the pleasure of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, that is the greatest success. There can't be any success greater than that. And this position has been attained by the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hadhrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أكرموا أصحابي فإنهم خياركم. Honor my Sahaba. They are the best people among you. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah, Allah fi ashabi, la tattakhiduhum gharadan min ba'di, faman ahabbahum, fabihubbi ahabbahum, waman abghadahum, fabibughdi abghadahum. Fear Allah regarding my sahaba. Don't make them an object of criticism after my demise. And if you claim that you love me, then you would love my sahaba. And the sahaba, having love for the sahaba, is a proof that you love me. And anybody that hates the sahaba, speaks negative, bad about the sahaba, that is the proof that they hate me. So any claim that we love Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without the link of the sahaba is a false claim. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, فَلَوْ أَنَّا حَدَكُمْ أَنْفَقَ مِثْلَ أُحُدْ ذَهَبْ مَا بَلَغَ مُدَّ حَدِهِمْ وَلَا نَصِيفَ. If anyone of you has sponsored in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala gold equivalent to Mount Uhud, not just 21 carats of gold, not just one bar of gold, but gold equivalent to Mount Uhud, and we know how big is Mount Uhud. Anybody has sponsored that amount of wealth in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and if a sahabi, he has given a fistful in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, what he has given, his fistful, can never be equivalent to the gold equivalent of Mount Uhud that you have given the path of Allah. That is because of the ikhlas, that is because of the sincerity. Respected elder and friends, one very great, illustrious, amazing sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was a resident of Makkatul Mukarramah. He lived in one remote valley in Makkatul Mukarramah. By practice, he was a shepherd, grazing sheep in the valley of Makkatul Mukarramah. He used to graze the sheep of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, a disbeliever whom Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran Kareem. He heard about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the news of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spread everywhere. But he didn't take much heed, he didn't bother. Firstly, because he was living far away from Makkah in a remote valley in Makkah. And second, he was busy grazing his sheep. One day, something very unique and something very surprising happened in his life. In a remote valley of Makkah, far away from Makkah, mid-afternoon, while he was grazing his sheep, he saw two persons coming. When he looked at them, they were people that commanded respect, dignity and honor. They came to him, and one of them too told to him, can we milk one of the sheep? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was a young boy at that time. He was a shepherd. He told to these two respectable people that this sheep don't belong to me. It belongs to my master, and we cannot milk the sheep without their permission. So the one respectable person from the two told to him, would you then allow us to milk a goat that has not cohabited with his female? Allow us to milk that animal. An animal that has no milk. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had no option but to allow them. How will milk come out from such an animal? That one respectable person went, he said, Bismillah, in the name of Allah. And he started drawing out milk from the udders of that animal. So much of milk started coming out that the respectable person goes and takes a rock that had a hollow in it, and he filled up the milk in that rock. He drank from it, he gave his colleague to drink, and he gave Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to drink. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud then told to the respectable person, Allimni hadha al-qawl. The statement that you said, Bismillah, teach me that. What is that? The name of Allah, what is that? Those two respectable people were none other than One, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The other was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At the height of oppression and persecution in Makkah to Mukarramah, they came in the valleys of Makkah to take refuge. To move away from that oppression, they came in the valleys. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then told Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, إِنَّكَ رَجُلٌ مُعَلَّمٌ. You are an educated person. You are a person that has been taught the statement, I have taught you Bismillah already. It was no longer after that that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala became a devout sahabi, a companion of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he had accepted Islam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala says that inni sadisu sitta, that I was the sixth person to have accepted Islam, and ma alal ard muslimun ghayruna. Besides us six people, there wasn't another person that had accepted Islam. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala was among the sabiqoon al-awwaloon. He was among those people that have accepted Islam in the beginning stages of Islam. And once he submitted to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire life revolved around Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala is described as a person that is very, very thin. And according to hadith, we understand that a person was skinny, very, very thin. In one hadith, it is mentioned, Nabi Kareem saw someone, saw Abdullah ibn Mas'ud climbing a tree and looked at his shin. It was extremely thin. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that his shin may be thin, but on the scales of justice on the day of Qiyamah, he'll be very, very weighty. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is known as Sahibu Siwak, Sahibul Na'lain, Sahibul Wisada, the person that used to keep the miswak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person that used to keep the pillow of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the person that used to keep the shoes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Imagine what close bond and relationship there was between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. In the beginning state of Islam, he faced, like other sahaba, who were in the forerunners of accepting Islam, he was among those people that faced a lot of oppression and persecution. On one occasion, those sahaba that have accepted Islam, they decided among themselves that مَا سَمِعَتْ قُرَيْشِ الْقُرْآنَ يُجْهَرْ بِهِ. The Quraysh, they haven't heard anybody reading the Quran loudly in front of them. So they decided to appoint somebody to go and recite the Quran in front of them. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu volunteered that I will go and read the Quran in front of them. So that his companions told to him that نَحْنُ نُرِي رَجُلًا, we want such a person who's got family backing. Yes, you are from Makkah, but you're not from the Quraysh. We want to identify somebody from the Quraysh who could read the Quran. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, level of iman was so high. He said, I'm going to go. Allahu yamnahuni wa Allahu yahfaduni. Allah will look after me, Allah will protect me. He goes in the Kaaba, in the Mataf, right by Maqam Ibrahim. The kuffar were seated there, and he started reading, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, ar-Rahman, allama al-Qur'an, khalaqa al-insan, allamahu al-bayan. Something unique, the kuffar never heard this. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had the courage in front of the kuffar, right by the Kaaba, to recite the Kaaba, the Quran Kareem. That's why in the hadith it mentioned, the first person to recite the Quran loudly in front of the Quran openly was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. No sooner that he recited the Quran, the kuffar were there and they pounced him. Hit him, persecuted him, and right until he bled. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made hijrat, went away to Madinah to Munawwara. Shortly thereafter, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala made hijrat, he went away to Madinah to Munawwara. The battle of Badr took place. The Fir'aun of this ummah, Abu Jahl, he was killed. He was basically attacked by two youngsters, Mu'adh and Mu'awwiz radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. But he wasn't yet killed, life did not come out of him. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told, who will go and see what happened to Abu Jahl? the most humble person in this ummah among the sahaba was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. All the sahaba were humble, but outstanding in humility was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala chose the most humble person to take away the life of the most proud person that was ever created in this world. Fir'aun was proud. But more proud than Fir'aun was Abu Jahl. Fir'aun, he told, Ana Rabbukum al-Ala, I am the greatest Lord. But when he started drowning, he said, Amantu bi Rabbi Harun wa Musa. He submitted at that time. At least some humbleness came into him. I bring Iman on the Rabb of Harun and Musa. But when Abdullah ibn Mas'ud went to look in the battlefield for Fir'aun, then he saw him lying down, helpless. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud climbed on him. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, out of surprise, told to Fir'aun, is like a slap on the face, Anta Abu Jahl? You Abu Jahl? Can't believe it. You Abu Jahl? Can't believe it. Abu Jahl, even at that time, what Fir'aun did not say, Abu Jahl said. He told to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Hal fawka rajulin qataltumun? Was there any greater person that you people killed? He's about to die, but look at the pride and arrogance. And then he said, فَلَوْ غَيْرَ أَكَّارٍ قَتَلَنِي. That I hope that somebody beside the farmer, those two youngsters, they were farmers, I hope somebody besides farmer, somebody senior would have killed me. That was the pride of Abu Jahl. Nevertheless, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala finally beheaded him and took his life out. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to him, إِنَّكَ عَلَيَّ أَن تَرْفَعُنِي الْحِجَابِ Hatta anhaq. You can come to my house at any time. There's no parda, there's no hijab for you. Until I stop you. Such a close bond between Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. To the extent that when the delegation came from Yemen to Madinah to Munawwara, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they said that we looked at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala and his mother coming in and out of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We really thought that he is one of the person from the Ahlul Bayt. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala blessed him with a great amount of knowledge. In the hadith, he says, أَخَسْتُ مِنْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam سَبْعِينَ surah. Directly from the Mubarak mouth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after Wahi came on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I have taken 70 surahs of the Quran Kareem directly from the Mubarak mouth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after Wahi came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he mentions, there's not a single verse of the Quran Kareem that I don't know where it was revealed, how it was revealed, and what were the circumstances of his revelation. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is reported to mention, Sahaba mentioned, that أقرب الناس إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هديا وسمتا عبد الله بن مسعود. The person that was closest to Nabi Karim صلى الله عليه وسلم in character, in conduct. Imagine to align Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم with character and conduct to somebody to that shows the position of that person. Mention it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud رضي الله تعالى عنه. In one hadith, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم reported to mention, لو كنت مؤمرا أحدا بغير مشورة La amartu ibn Ummi Abd. If I would appoint anyone as an Amir, as a leader in my absence, without any mashwara, without any guidance, the person that I have the greatest amount of trust on is Ibn Ummi Abd. Ummi Abd was the mother of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the son of Ummi Abd, that is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. That is the amount of trust that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had on Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and the knowledge of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. In one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned, whatever Abdullah ibn Mas'ud tell y'all, take it. Open license to follow Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Once a person came from Kufa. This was at the time of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The person told to Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, there's one person in Kufa, very, very knowledgeable. He sits on a minbar and he dictates the Quran off by heart. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu got angry. Can anybody actually do that? Dictate the Quran off by heart? He got very, very angry. When Umar radiallahu asked, who that person is? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud immediately cooled off. No, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he had the right to do that. And then on that he relates an incident. He says, one night, I was busy with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And after we left Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we went away, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed the masjid and he heard the recitation of a person reciting the Quran Kareem. It was none other than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then on that occasion mentioned that in taqra al-Quran rutban ratban kama nazal falyaqra ala qira'ati ibn ummi abd. Anybody want to recite the Quran al-Kareem as it was revealed, then read like how Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala reads the Quran. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept on listening to the recitation of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud whilst he was in the Masjid al-Nabawi reading the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was nearby there and listening. And then after he recited the Quran, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told to himself, not loudly that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud could hear, sal tu'ta, sal tu'ta. Oh Ibn Mas'ud, you read the Quran so beautifully. Like Allah revealed it. Now ask Allah what you want, you'll be given. Ask Allah what you want, you'll be given. Umar radiallahu ta'ala who says, when we heard this, we thought it is something to give glad tidings to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. In the morning, first thing I went to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud to go and give him the glad tidings about what Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about him. Before I could be there, Abu Bakr was also there. To give the glad tidings to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. One occasion, there was a caravan that was coming, traveling. It was in the middle of the night. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala stopped that caravan and asked the caravan that, Manil Qawm, who you people are? And where you people are coming from? From inside the caravan, a sound came out, Min al Fajjil Amiq. We're coming from the narrow lands. This Allah Tabaraka refers to people performing Hajj. That people will come from the narrow land, far distant land, to come and perform Hajj. But this type of answer normally comes from a very learned person. Umar radiallahu anhu didn't know inside the caravan was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Then he asked another question. Aina turidun? Where you people are going to? Again, that voice from inside told, Ila al-Bayt al-Atiq. We are going to the old house, referring to a Kaaba Sharif. These are learned statements. Then Umar radiallahu anhu told to somebody nearby there, looks like there's a very learned person in the caravan. Ask some questions to him. Benefit from his knowledge. Then Umar radiallahu anhu told a person to ask 5 questions to that person. The first one, Ayyul Qur'an A'azam, Ayyul Qur'an Ahkam, Ayyul Qur'an Ajma', Ayyul Qur'an Akhwaf, Ayyul Qur'an Arja. 5 questions about the Quran al-Kareem. First one, which ayat of the Quran al-Kareem is the greatest, most superior ayat of the Quran al-Kareem? Second, which ayat verse of the Quran al-Kareem is most fair and most accurate in terms of judgment and fairness? Third, which ayat of the Quran al-Kareem is most comprehensive? Fourth, which ayat of the Quran al-Kareem creates the greatest amount of fear in an individual? Allah consciousness in an individual. And fifth, which ayat of the Quran al-Kareem creates the greatest amount of hope in an individual? 5 questions regarding the Quran al-Kareem. When the first question was asked on behalf of Umar to a person inside, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud answered. But at that time Umar didn't know it was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The person said, greatest ayat of the Quran al-Kareem, ayatul kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. The ayat that is most ahkam, verse of the Quran al-Kareem, that displays the greatest amount of fairness, justice and equity. Which one is that? Inna Allah ya'muru bil adli wal ihsan, wa ita'i dhil qurba, wa yanha anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal bagh. This verse, every Fridays, we hear it upon the completion of the khutbah. Third verse, Ajma', which verse is most comprehensive? From inside the answer came, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. Anybody does any atom of good, you're going to see it on the day of Qiyamah. Any person that does any atom of bad on the day of Qiyamah, he will see it. Fourth verse, which is a verse that creates the greatest amount of hope in an individual. So, that verse is, slipped my mind at this point. The fifth verse, the verse that has the greatest amount of hope in an individual. Ya ibadi, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. That do not be despondent of the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But these are five very difficult questions that we ask. Only a person with a greater amount of knowledge of the Quran can answer this. Then Umar radiallahu thought for himself, he asked, Afikum ibn Mas'ud? In the caravan, is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud there? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud came out and said, Naam, it's me. Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew, and all the Sahaba, that's the type of the respect they had for Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he passed away just a few days before Umar radiallahu ta'ala knew. When he passed away, then Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu ta'ala knew, came to him. And Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu told him, actually after Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud had passed away. During the Khilafat of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Uthman radiallahu ta'ala came to him because he was ill, he was sick. So normally when a sick person is ill and is sick, you ask him, where's the pain? What's happening? What's the complaint? So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu asked him, Ma tashtaki? What are you complaining about? So instead of saying my head is paining, my stomach is paining, my body is paining, I got high blood pressure, I got sugar, I got cancer. He gave a unique answer. What I'm complaining about? Zunuba Rabbi. I'm complaining about the sins of my Rabb. Subhanallah. A Sahabi who is among the Sabiqoon al-Awwaloon, sixth person to accept Islam, made all the Mujahada in Makkatul Mukarramah. He makes Hijrat. He takes part in Badr. He takes part in Uhud. He takes part in Ahzab. He takes part in Bay'atul Ridwan. And there, in the last moment of his life, he's saying that if I have anything to complain, regret, it is my sins. Subhanallah. Where is a Sahabi and where is our thinking? Uthman radiallahu ta'ala asked him, Ma tashtahi? Is there anything that I can do for you? As an Amir, as a leader, can I do anything for you? Look at the answer of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. What am I desiring for? Rahmat Rabbi. I am looking forward for the rahmat and the mercy of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then Abdullah ibn Uthman radiallahu ta'ala told him, look, you haven't taken any means, provision from the Baytul Mal for a very, very long time. Should I not decree something for you from the Baytul Mal, from the Islamic treasury? You haven't taken anything. So why don't I just decree something for you at this stage of your life? You are in need. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned, La hajatali. I don't need anything. Then, finally say, okay, you don't need anything. What about your daughters? You've got daughters. On that, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud mentioned, you think that I'm afraid of poverty for my daughters? No. Me, I have heard one hadith from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man qara'a surat al-waqiyah, kulla laylatin lam tusibhu faqatun abada. That person who recites Surah Waqia every night, he will never be afflicted with poverty. He says, I have taught my daughters Suratul Waqia to recite every night. We don't need anything from the Islamic treasury because the barakat of Suratul Waqia, Allah will create the means and fulfill their needs. Respected elders and friends, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud passes away in Madinatul Munawwara, and the most correct opinion is that he is buried in Jannatul Baqi. The fiqh of the Ahnaf, the Hanafi madhab, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, his fiqh is derived from all the hadiths that come from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. Respected and friends, so much we can tell about this great illustrious sahabi of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just in conclusion, we are weak in our amal, we weak in everything, but at least we should be strong in one thing. Have love for the sahaba. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have mentioned, Al-mar'u ma'a man ahabba. A person will be with that person who he loves. If on the day of Qiyamah, when we face Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, Allah will question our iman, question us about amal. We are weak. We've got nothing to present before Allah ta'ala. But at least we can present one thing to Allah. Allah, we love your Rasul. We love the Sahaba of your Rasul. May Allah grant us The true love for the Sahaba, and may Allah tabarak wa ta'ala make the love of the Sahaba a means of our najat and salvation in the qabr and the akhirat. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.